Dan, come up and you've had 35 minutes now to think about my question. But this guy is doing a fantastic job in terms of being chair of Churches Together and trying to say what does it mean for us as all a whole range of very, very different churches across Melbourne to be united in what God's calling us to. And we had a meeting, we had the AGM for Churches Together on Monday. What's God doing in Melbourne, Dan, as you look back over sort of the last 18 months, the last 2 years that you've perhaps been chair of Churches Together? What's God doing that we can pray into, that we can be encouraged about?
Sure. Yeah, the bottom line for me with Churches Together, the bottom line for me with anything that happens within a local church is relationship. It's relationship with God, and then it's relationship amongst us. And when it comes to Churches Together, I thought I've got a short answer, then I've got a longer answer, and then I've got a longest answer.
Short answer. And then afterwards, you can give anyone the long one.
Yeah, short answer for me is being chair of Churches Together. It's certainly what I've seen of that type of organisation previously. I'm not a natural fit for it, so I'm being obedient in being there. Longer version of what I'm seeing is through relationship. It's like, what can we do? What can we do to release what God's doing? Whether that's within a local church, because I'm sure it's important that local churches know who they are, that they have a vision, they have a leader who's bringing vision and change to the church to ensure that it's relevant and happening and communicating who Jesus is to people who don't yet know him. So local churches are strong, but also where there's relationship between leaders and churches, that is released and maximised, whether that's, say, three churches where there's some synergy there, or whether that's all the churches. So it's simple, really. Let's release what God's doing, and we're seeing that various initiatives within Malvern.
Give us a quick taste of what those initiatives are.
What those initiatives are. I've really been thrilled by Ignite, which is a venture where there's several leaders who are together and putting on these, how best to describe them, renewal come revival come being alert to what the Holy Spirit is doing events that all churches are invited to. And those have really encouraged me. There is the debt centre with CAP, where there's synergy between some churches, but all the churches are welcome to be part of it. The Thy Kingdom Come, which came through Church of England and Methodist initiative, but all churches from all traditions are involved in that and were part of that. So I am sure that God saves his best blessing for when we're doing things together, whether that's all the churches or whether that's through relationship where several churches have got that and it just fits with where they're going. But also keeping the local church strong, because you are, as All Saints, you are positioned here for a purpose that's local to being here, and the vision that emerges here, it's essential that you keep that strong. So if someone said to me, is it all about the local church? I'd say yes. And if someone said to me, is it all about what we can do together? I would say yes. So it's yes to both. So if we can hold that tension and release what God's doing and break what the enemy's doing, then I'm up for continuing to share a Churches Together.
Good, and we're up having you. And I think these guys, the youth too, are what's going on here with youth, I just think is such a really exciting part of what's going on. Seven churches now involved in youth church meeting here, and the schools stuff, which was particularly involved some of your guys, and Tim and Karen, over the last couple of weeks, has been really exciting too. Mm. So, and that's brilliant, because you guys are out on the ground doing the stuff, and we are praying for you guys too. So Thank you, Dan. I'm going to hand over to you now. Sure. I think let us just pray. And I want to say, I think one of the big things that happened, and this just slides into the topic tonight as an intro, is that actually back in October, Rod Cork, the new vicar at the Priory, said to us ministers, we need to start meeting together to pray more often. We were meeting together about 3 times a year. And he said, actually, that's not enough. We need to start meeting together to pray. So there's a whole load of us who meet fortnightly on Thursday mornings. And that has been such a place where I think unity has really developed more than anything, and where a lot of this stuff has come out of that place of prayer, which ties in beautifully with what he's going to preach tonight. So let me just say, Lord, we thank you for Dan. We thank you for just the man that you've called to come and be here and to be leading churches together. Jesus. And we honour him and we bless all that's going on at the source. We bless his family. We bless his ministry. And we pray now that you'll speak through him. Give us open ears to hear your voice and to be drawn to you tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dave. I know you have to be careful just doing things live and once a thought is triggered. But what you said about the young people, I was going to email you, Eddie, at the start of the week. Because I was thinking about the AGM last Monday and whether it was possible. I'm doing it now, aren't I? I'm doing it. It might be a terrible idea. But like, if we could have some youth reps who come along to those wider churches together meetings. Because for me, I'm not a youth pastor. I'm not suddenly going to start wearing ripped jeans and beads. That's not going to happen to me. It's not that these are regular jeans, no rips in it. I don't really get all of that. It's like, just buy some new jeans that haven't got holes in them. But I've got to learn, haven't I? I've got to learn. I'm repositioning things as I go. Can I move that microphone as well? Because I need some more space in front of me, else I'll start knocking things over with my hands. There we go. Lovely. And yes, so it's that thing of acting our age. I don't pretend to be any younger than I am. And with that, I see myself as a I'm an actual parent, but as a spiritual parent. Then I see young people. It's like I can bring that parenting to them, or grandparents as well. We can bring it at that level. And yeah, the thing is with children, with young people, it's like, how can they be released to get the opportunities maybe that we had so that they can come through and start to carry what's happening here in the local church and across the local churches in Malvern. And that may be a good idea, it may be a terrible idea, Eddie, but let's look at it, whether we can get some youth reps along to those type of meetings, because it'll ensure that we get younger as well, just having their comments coming in and learning off young people. I should put some notes in front of me, shouldn't I? Else I'm going to keep going on the whole churches together thing. Emily, my daughter, she's 14, she's into gymnastics, she's passionate about it, she trains, 3 evenings a week, and there's one discipline with gymnastics. She likes everything else, but this one fills her with a certain amount of dread. And as a parent, it fills me with dread as well. I don't get that many opportunities to go and see her compete because often it happens on a Sunday. But I did go recently, and the one discipline, the beam. You know the beam is really narrow, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever tried any gymnast here, any gymnasts? No. No. No, all right, no gymnasts, no. But for her with the beam, she practices a lot. And what's really important there with the beam is her posture. How she positions herself on the beam and over the beam, and then she's able to do the moves. So her posture really matters. The only part about the beam that I feel relieved about when I'm watching her, and actually for Emily as well, the only part of it that she enjoys is the dismount. When you actually get off the beam and land on the floor again. However you do that, she lands on the floor, and that's great. And posture, it really matters. Now, all right, there's no gymnast here, but still thinking physically, posture, why does it matter? I've done some research to back up what my mom used to say to me, which is, stand up straight, shoulders back, chest out, don't slouch. And your mom was right. She was right. It is really important. And according to medical science, and this is true, bad posture is responsible for multiple health complaints. Ones which we wouldn't necessarily think of, but it is. Bad posture apparently causes headaches due to muscle strain, sleep problems, bad moods, less motivation, foot pain, lower back pain and fatigue, constipation and high blood pressure. Whereas having good posture is a way of doing things with more energy and less stress. And it's a fact that without a good posture, you can't have great physical fitness. You just can't do this. And this, it isn't meant to make you feel uncomfortable. I can see some people just starting to straighten off in their seats. Don't slouch, that's it. And it's not meant to do that, but it does make a difference. It makes a difference physically, but it also makes a difference spiritually. And that's what I'm going to speak into this evening. And the book of Psalms, let me introduce this now. The book of Psalms starts in Psalm 1. No surprises there. And I'm going to read it to you. And as I read it, just think about posture and movement, because God created us to move. That's what he did. He created us to move. He could have created us like trees that are very permanent and fixed, but actually trees do still move, don't they? It's still happening. And interestingly, this psalm makes a connection between us and trees. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Walk, stand, sit. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. We were created to move, and our spiritual health is connected with our posture and with deliberate movements. It's connected with what we think and do when we're in those different positions. And there's three positions, three postures that I'm going to go with and speak into this evening. There's sitting, there's kneeling, and there's standing. And if you're able, so I'm not going to put anybody under pressure here, but if you're able, I want us to start by standing. So if you want to stand, if you're comfortable with this, like I said, I'm not going to force anybody. So if you stand, put some movement into the room. And I didn't do that so that we would stand so much as I did that so that we could sit, because you were already sitting. But I want you to be aware of sitting. So just sit down and be fully aware of what that felt like, because sometimes we're not in the now moment, are we? And we don't actually read what's happening to our bodies and what's changing as a result of the posture that we're in. So we've sat down. And what I want to do here is, I don't want this to just be an exercise of our logic. I want this to be something that spiritually makes a difference to us when we're in these different positions. So Psalm 26, verse 4. Psalm 26, verse 4. It says this. Verses 4 and 5. I do not sit with the deceitful, nor do I associate with hypocrites. I abhor the assembly of evildoers, and refuse to sit with the wicked. So you've got sit in there. And to me, when I read that, that's strong, isn't it? What it says there is strong. I do not sit, I do not associate, I abhor, I refuse. And this posture of sitting, as much as it's passive, it's relaxed, it's also revealing. And more than any of the other postures that I'm going to speak in, it comes with several challenging questions. So I thought I'd start here, because this is the most challenging. And one of the questions is this: are we sitting comfortably? Are we sitting comfortably? And what I mean by that is what we've got in our lives. What is happening in our lives? Things that may be in conflict with our spiritual health and our relationship with God. Deceit, hypocrisy, evil, wickedness. They're strong words. Maybe too strong for what we've got going on. But if there's sin, if we're thinking or saying or doing anything wrong, and we're sitting in it, if we're being passive, our spiritual health is going to suffer as a result. Then there's the question of who are we sitting with, and that's not easy to decipher either, because we're called to communicate our faith in a world that's damaged, which means we're going to be sitting down with damaged people, like someone did with us when we first heard about Jesus. And we're going to have to learn this and test this out for ourselves. But remember, we're influencing or being influenced by who we spend time with, who we're sitting down with, their views, their comments, their decisions, their actions. There's a quote, I'm not sure who said it first. It's this: show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. And even if it isn't who we are, it's who we're becoming. There's a moment, and it comes with an ancient man in an ancient book who's having a familiar wrestling match with God, although his wrestling match is beyond anything I would suggest that any of us have ever experienced. And I've got to say, this book isn't exactly the feel-good book of the Bible. It's Job. It's Job. And this here, where I'm going to read from, it is an ugly scene in Job, but I'm going to go for it anyway. And I hope that none of us ever have to face this. It comes in Job 2, and it's verse 8. And that's what I'm going to start with. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. Some terrible, awful, ugly things have happened to Job, and he's that broken that he's sitting there with broken pottery scraping himself as he's there in the ashes. And he's alone for a time, and he's sitting in the brokenness, and he's got that piece of broken pottery. And then his friends arrive. And if you know the story, and if you've followed it through as you've read Job, they don't always get it right, his friends, but they do here. They do. Because they were compassionate. They were patient. And they arrived and they saw and they sat down with him. Job 2, verses 12 to 13. When they saw him, when they saw Job from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. What I'd like us to do is to experience this posture. We're all sitting down already. And I would suggest that in doing this now, this may well be silent, but that doesn't mean we're any less engaged with God as a result. And what I'd like us to do is to close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. When I say this is silent, it's because I don't know the relationships here in this room. They could be close enough. I'm sure some of them are to have that time of confessional, really, where it's like, yes, I've got this going on in my life. I'm sitting in this. I'm passive in this, but I want to deal with it now that the Holy Spirit is prompting me to deal with this wrong thing, this wrong thought, this wrong action, these wrong words. Holy Spirit is prompting me, and I want to confess this, and I want God and His forgiveness to come in and deal with it. But I don't know the relationships in the room, and it's not very private either if you're saying those things out loud. So let's do this in silence. And what I'd like us to do in our minds, in our hearts, as we're sitting, let's ask ourselves that question. Are we sitting comfortably? Or is there something that God's saying, oh, don't sit with that anymore? Is He making us uncomfortable about something in our life? And if He is, just privately, personally, confess that to God. Because His forgiveness is there. He can't wait. He can't wait to hear that from us. His grace is there. That unconditional love for us. So let's have some silence. I'm going to shut up even. I need to. Just listen to what the Spirit is doing as you're prompted. Are you sitting comfortably? You can be if you confess. God, you respond to us. You're the God who comes running out to meet with us when we recognise our faults. When we realise we've been away from you and we've got it wrong. You throw your arms around us. You just want to hear it from us. You just want us to allow you to love us in a deeper way. And our spiritual health can increase when we're in this posture. When we're sitting and we're not comfortable until we've confessed and said everything that we need to say to you and received your forgiveness. Thank you for that forgiveness. Amen. Amen. Maybe that's something, I don't know, in your devotional time through the week when you're sitting down, just ask yourself that question. Am I sitting comfortably? Am I? And if I'm not, if I'm sitting with something in a passive way that shouldn't be there in my life, then just ask God and do what you can to remove it and to receive His forgiveness. In Psalm 95 verse 6, it says this: Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. And kneeling, it's the posture for me that has become the most counter-cultural posture of all. Although I don't have any research here to back it up, it's just a loose grasp of history and what I've observed about what's happening now in culture. Back in medieval times, if we were to rewind, where there were kings and there were lords, and then there was everyone else, the lower beings, the peasants. Honour had to be paid, submission had to be shown, and sure it was forced on you. you knelt or else, but it was there. And I'm not arguing for a return to that. But where in our culture is there that demand on our posture? Or even the desire within us to kneel at the feet of anyone? There isn't. Not that I can see. And kneeling has been lost, which
on the plus side has equaled us all out, but on the minus side, it means that we don't experience what bowing down does inside of us. Just try it. That could be uncomfortable, couldn't it? Just try it. Try kneeling in front of somebody who's standing. And there's all sorts of feelings that rise within you as a result. And it could be feelings like, oh, I'm not kneeling in front of you. I'm not submitting to them. And maybe it's pride that rises within us. Maybe it's judgment or it's a feeling of being superior. So why kneel? And there's also feelings that rise within the person that we're kneeling in front of. That they may well say, no, you can't kneel in front of me. Don't do that. I can't cope with having you there. It's an interesting experiment if you were to try kneeling in front of someone. And it just shows to me that our physicality, like our bodies and the positions that we're in, it's stronger than we realise. And the emotions that come as a result of being in those different positions affects our minds, it affects our words. But that's with people, it's different, isn't it? Kneeling before our God, it's different, isn't it? But maybe not. I mean, our Creator, our Lord, our Master, our Saviour, our King, and yet our pride, our desire to do it our own way, the thought that we know better than God causes us to fight against that, to resist that. Then there's our science and our knowledge and the view that has finally silenced God. And for the unbeliever, and even for the believer, we're less and less inclined to kneel in our culture, to bow the knee before God. And maybe that's what's happened with the pressure of advertising and media and this cult of it all being about me. We've become our own mini gods, and we expect everyone else to bow before us. And all of that can cause us to have the attitude that I'm not kneeling, I'm not bowing before human or God. And if that's us, then I would suggest that our spiritual health is in free fall, because we've lost our right relationship with our Lord, the relationship of the created to the Creator. Back to Job, and he's still wrestling with God, and it's God who's doing the talking now. I'm going to go to Job chapter 38. So it's Job chapter 38. So I'm going to start in verse 4. I could read all of this. I'm not going to because of time, but Job chapter 38, starting in verse 4. This is God doing the talking. And I think God here is suggesting to Job that maybe God is the superior being. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. I think Job's starting to get the point here. I'm gonna continue. Verse 31. Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Can you loose the cords of Orion? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons, or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? And I don't know why, as Christians, we get fearful of science and discovery. Some of the greatest scientists who have ever lived, they made their discoveries within a life that knelt before God. And they saw the pursuit of mystery as the search for God's glory as it's revealed in the heavens and on the earth. And to kneel and to bow down is to deal with pride, to humble ourselves. It's to set us back in right relationship with our God. And the prayers that flow out of that posture of kneeling, they're prayers of submission, they're prayers of praise. And those prayers, they cause us to soar and our health to rise. So with this one, I'd understand if you weren't able to kneel. It's quite a hard floor and that. But if you were and you wanted to, let's just experience this posture of kneeling. And let's pray. We can do this one out loud. I'm sure there could be some prayers in the room that you want to pray out loud. There's cushions either. There's, I don't know how many cushions there is. Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. You do or you don't. It's up to you with kneeling. I'm going to start us off. And what I'd like to prompt are prayers from you. Prayers that recognise what Job recognised as God told him. And explained the universe to him. And I don't know about you, but whenever anyone tries, a scientist tries to explain the universe to me, I'm like, that is just awesome. Just awesome. The complexity of it, the expansiveness of it. I reach a point where I'm like, I don't actually understand this anymore. It's gone beyond me. Must be you, God. Must be you. And it's those type of prayers that come out of the posture of kneeling. Prayers of submission. Prayers of right relationship. We were created by a creator God. And they're prayers of praise. They're prayers of being astounded at who he is. So if anyone feels moved to pray those type of prayers from the posture of kneeling, then here's your opportunity to pray out loud. Yeah, Lord Jesus, there's something precious about kneeling, about this posture when we're in front of you, God. And I don't want to limit that in front of you, God comment to being in a building, in a church building, because we can be in front of you when we're at home, privately, in our devotional time. We can kneel. I'm sure it's in that kneeling position that some of the greatest prayers, some of the most poetic language, some of the most intimate times happen with you, God, as we kneel. So as much, or even because it's countercultural, I pray that we would do it more. Amen. Amen. You can sit again now. Yeah, whoever prayed that prayer about storms, I'm with you. It's like I don't understand a lot of it, so younger people than me who do understand it, please explain more. But yeah, there were words in his lyrics, and it sounded like it was about God and grace and forgiveness and all of that, and there were thousands of people listening. So that's as much as I can comment on it, but yeah, Stormzy. And yeah, no, I won't go there. Stop. Right, standing. Yeah, it's good job you can't actually read my mind at certain moments, because it would send you off in a direction that we're not meant to be going. In Psalm 18, verse 33, it says this. This is the third and the final posture we're going to go for. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. Obviously, we're not going for a literal reading here, because that sounds more like Tumnus the Fawn in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. This is something that's poetic language. And God causing us to stand on the heights with his perspective. And one thing that we have got in Malvern is the heights. We can have that perspective. And standing, it's our most active posture. You only have to watch a human baby, as it comes to realise that the one thing that it's got to do is to stand. And it's going to stress, and it's going to strain, and it's going to work on those muscles and the balance, and it's going to go through the pain because it needs to stand. Where does that come from? Where does that instinctive need to stand come from? Through standing that we stand up to the world. And interestingly, and more research here again, standing is the most essential physical position of Jewish prayer. There is even a prayer called the Amidah, or standing prayer. And as part of this prayer, it's customary for Jews to take three steps forward. Again, there's movement. Three steps forward and three steps back. As if in stepping forward, they're approaching God. And in stepping back, they're returning to the world. Three steps into his presence and three steps out of it. And isn't that us as Christ followers, spiritually, standing somewhere between the two? Stepping into the holy place and out of it. Going forwards and backwards between heaven and earth in prayer and in relationship. And somehow joining the two. Kingdom of heaven here on earth. And when as Christians we talk about what's going on spiritually, especially when we use the language of spiritual warfare, it can cause it to sound strange, even intimidating. But for me, being able to stand, that's what we're called to do. That's going on the offensive for me. That just being able to stand. And when we're in the, I don't know, wherever we are through the week, and just to name one situation that some people may be in, where we're in the workplace. We're in the workplace and we may be sitting down at a desk or working on the computer, and we may be sitting all day, but like the stubborn child with the parent, we can be sitting on the outside, but inside we're standing, aren't we? We're standing up for what we believe in. And there's moments throughout each of our days where we stand, often in conversation, often with opportunities to stand up for what we believe in. Not rudely. We don't do it rudely. Not arrogantly. We don't do that. Not argumentatively. We don't do that. But we can still stand. We can stand gently. We can stand with well worked out reasoning. We can stand with sensitivity. We can stand. And there's a constant appeal in the Bible, in God's word, to his people to stand. To stand up against the forces of evil. To stand up for what we believe in. And standing is the essential posture of the spiritually healthy, the spiritually alive Christian, to stand up straight shoulders back, chest out. Don't slouch as we pray for ourselves and as we pray for other Christians. As we pray for people in relationship with in local churches, as we pray for Malvern, as we pray that we will have the words that we can use, and we can use them fearlessly to make known the mystery of the gospel, the good news about Jesus that we communicate through our lives and through our words. The good news about a God who loves us, we stand for that. And I'd like us to stand at the finish of what I'm going to say. It's Debbie who's been leading us in worship. We will sing, but not yet. We're going to pray some more prayers out loud with this posture of standing. I want to read out of Ephesians as we do that. Maybe it seems obvious to go here, but I'm going to go here anyway. Ephesians 6. It's verses 10 onwards, but I'm going to zero in on verses 13 and 14. It's talking about this spiritual battle that we're in. Maybe we should stand right now as we move into this posture. I've seen it there again, actually, in verse 11. So let's start with 10 and 11 and then go to 13 and 14. And let's do this in an attitude of prayer. So you can close your eyes. I need to keep mine open for a moment or two. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Stand once. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground twice. And after you have done everything to stand, three times, stand firm then, four times, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist. It continues on to explain what the armour of God is. Four times in those verses, it tells us to stand. And that's what we're doing now. That's the posture that we're in. We're standing. So let's pray some prayers out of this posture. Let's think about that. The movement that's there as we step into the presence of God. And we want to be in the presence of God. We love being in the presence of God. We could sing all day, every day. But don't we also want to be in relationship with people who don't yet know Jesus? Yes, we do. So we take three steps back so that we have the opportunity to communicate what we're experiencing when we're in the presence of God, and we get to introduce the presence of God to them. Three steps in, three steps out, constantly between the two. So let's pray some prayers. Let's pray some prayers as we stand. We can pray them out loud. Let's pray some prayers.